Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend. I'm not gonna write you a love song, 'cause you asked for it, 'cause you need one. You see, I'm not gonna write you a love song.
Love the day. Love the people you're with. Enjoy your family and your friends today. Maybe if you're taking time off, the weather will cooperate. Looks like a pretty good day weather-wise around the country. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Doug Steffen with Jennifer Horn. Hi. Everything all right with you?
Yeah. Are you okay? I heard a little coughing. Are you feeling okay?
Is that a little coughing? That sounded like a lot of coughing to me.
By that, I mean your lung actually popped out of your mouth and went back in again.
No, I'm fine. I'm still getting rid of the mucus. Victoria is off for the rest of the week. Hopefully she'll be back next week. She has had this thing that knocked her around a little more than it did me. And others have had this thing, which basically is a bronchitis, can become walking pneumonia. It can stick in your lungs and make life pretty miserable for a while. I had a cough that made my chest hurt so badly. Oof.
Be careful with how hard you cough, kids, because you remember it was bronchitis that actually knocked out my eyeball when I had my detached retina. I was coughing so hard that it...
Yep. Right.
I mean, I was feeling better, but like you, I still had that cough, and
cough. This is the cough. Yes. All right. State of Massachusetts has barred employers from asking about your salary before making a job offer. This is pretty interesting.
What?
When you get right down to it. When you go in for a job, this can be one of the things that you're asked, okay, I'm going to offer you a job. How much do you want to make? Here's what the job pays. Or tell me what you're making now, and we can maybe somehow or other figure out how to meet your needs. So of those three scenarios, one of them can't be used anymore. You can't ask somebody what they're making now.
Now, is this just in the interview process? Or because a lot of jobs, they have the profile online, and you know, you just fill everything out there, and then you can apply for multiple jobs. Uh-huh. And a lot of those ask for your current salary there. Does that mean they can't ask there anymore?
I don't know.
Because it is on our application. When you fill it out, you have to say salary history, basically.
Right. Because to me, that's kind of how you move up the ladder. Okay, you have this old job, and this is how much you're making, and now you're moving on to a new thing that is hopefully a little bit higher.
The reason that they did it, the state of Massachusetts said the reason they did it was to help close the wage gap between men and women by ensuring that compensation is based on the job's value to the company, not what you made. So I understand what they're saying here. If a woman applies, notoriously, as we have been talking about for years and years and years and years and years, women don't get paid on the same level that men do for performing the same job, which is
not only
sexist, but in present company excluded. So the idea that you could use this would keep women down if in fact, what the premise is that women don't get paid as much as men. So if you keep that going by asking women what they were making versus what men were making, then there's never going to be parity because you'll be offered a job at a wage that may be higher than what you're making now, but still not as high as perhaps might be the equivalency if you're a man. Does that make sense?
It does, except for me, it's a totally different experience. I mean, I will, and I think you are the same way. I know you are, Dougie. In fact, maybe you weight yourself actually more towards hiring women because you prefer that and because of women's ability to multitask. At my company, I'm very involved with the hiring process. And for me, it's never about hiring a man or a woman. It's just not. What the salary history does for me, though, is knowing because I am a small business, I only have a small amount. You know, I have this amount of money to pay for a certain job. And sadly, at where we are, that's just the reality. You know, it's not like you can come in and ask me for $50,000 more. Even if you're an awesome candidate, I'm not going to be able to pay you that. So, you know, having that knows if I'm going to be able to afford the person who's walking in, you know, or if they're already going to be asking for too much money. Do I want to get attached to a candidate who I really, really want to hire if I know right away that I'm not going to be able to pay them what they need?
It's an ongoing discussion, but it needs to be settled. It needs to be fixed. That's my reason for bringing this up. There are a couple of stories floating around Massachusetts this morning that I thought were interesting with so many elitists coming and going at Harvard. I've never had much use for Harvard. I just think Harvard is a bastion of elitism, and it's happy to tell you, is a Harvard degree worth more than a degree from Heidelberg? I suppose it probably is. But I think I got a better education going to Heidelberg than I would have going to Harvard. There is, as school will begin in a couple of weeks on that campus and most other campuses, my daughter actually started her new semester yesterday teaching at UCLA.
Well, they're on the quarter system.
They are. They just keep going. She teaches every quarter, and the new classes start the summer. They're actually still, this is still called the summer session.
Right.
Interestingly,
it's good because you actually fast track. The quarter system has, it's a little more intensive, but you actually get through quicker.
Right. Yeah. It's
which
like
is
three hours at a time. I think 3 days a week, if I'm not mistaken, is what she told me about one of the classes. Anyway, the dean at Harvard is wrestling with some all male campus fellowships. This is something, remember now, we're supposed to be in 2016, we're supposed to not have these male clubs at progressive colleges, and yet there are 20 of them at Harvard. 20 single-gender clubs. Most of them are men's clubs. There are a couple of female clubs. But the dean says, effective with this new semester, that anybody who belongs to these single-gender clubs will be barred from participating in any athletics, will be denied recommendations for Rhodes scholarships or Fulbright scholarships.
That is so ridiculous. Who cares?
Penalizing people who join the club. So I wonder what you thought about that.
I just, to me, this doesn't matter. I don't care. I think there's a place to have women's only organizations, just like I think there's a place to have men's only organizations. It doesn't bother me at all. And I was the head of Women in Cable and Telecommunications. We had male members, but it was a group set up primarily to empower women. And, you know, every group has a purpose. So if you don't like it, you don't join. Why does everybody have to be a member of everything?
Well, I don't mind fraternities and sororities, which are male and female. But the only thing I don't like is that at these prestigious institutions where they have the secret clubs that have been going on behind doors for years and years. And to me, I don't like those because it seems like a lot of really creepy stuff happens behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to be regulating
the
them
creepy
at all.
Things happen and there are creepy people involved.
Yeah,
and
but as far as male and female, I mean, sports teams. I mean, I was on a male water polo team because there wasn't a club team for females. I don't mind male and female stuff. That's fine because most of the time, if you want to have a women's club, I don't know. I don't think that's a big deal.
Well,
just the creepy ones. Those can go away.
Creepy.
I don't like the creepy ones.
There's a new book that I don't usually pay much attention to books.
Yeah, who needs them?
That didn't sound right. Let me try
books
to rephrase
overrated,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Let me
Oh, they ain't very well, those books.
Take two on what I was trying to say. Thank you very much for underscoring it.
That was cute.
Thank you. I was talking about what happened. I think was it yesterday or the day before? I was told I said on the air that I had been told over the weekend by someone who was very sensitive. This woman was asking me for my zip code, and I gave it to her. And she said, you died in 1701 where you are.
And she had that by zip code in her brain?
Well, somehow or other, the zip code rang a bell with her, suggesting that I was working on this whole area where I am in Massachusetts was a hotbed of the Underground Railroad. And the Indians and them, it wasn't like the slave trade was big also here. And it's not the place that you would have thought the slave trade was big. But there were slaves and there were all kinds of connections. Indians were made slaves. It was really kind of a creepy reality. So the reason that I'm interested in this book, The Underground Railroad, which is coming out in September, is the story of a teenage.
Because I really like trains.
I do like trains, actually. That's
not
what I'm interested in. Yeah. Story of a teenage slave who flees from Georgia, tries to evade bounty hunters, informers, lynch mobs. The number, of people in this part of the world, we think of slave trading, the usage of slaves, as something that was done in the South. That's not true. The real history of our country shows how many Northerners owned slaves.
Oh, yeah.
They get out of it, but they built many of the... I live on what was a big plantation. I have you. There was a big. There was one family that controlled this town that I live in, and it was the work on the farms were done by slaves.
Yeah, they were not in the North, not fundamentally against slaves. They were just the first to kind of adjust. Yeah, I mean, you know, when it started to seem like it wasn't a good idea anymore.
Yeah, right. Jennifer Please. Horn needs nitric oxide.
Yes.
There's a reason why Neo 40 Daily is the number one selling product at Neogenis. It's one of the top selling nitric oxide supplements in the world. Clinically tested, it's a patented tab that melts in your mouth and then rapidly helps your body create nitric oxide to support the circulation, promote healthy arterial function. Go get your phone. You got your phone with you? Then call 800-655-4183. You can order it on the device. Get a free month supply of Super Beats and Neo 40 when you're telling me listening to Good Day. So you pay for the first, I think, 3 months supply. You get an extra 30 days free. This is a great, not a good product, a great product. And then the book Beat the Odds explains what happens to your to the arteries when they open up, getting more blood to your brain, your heart, all your organs, your muscles. This is great stuff for longevity. 800-655-4183 or go to DougLikesBeats.com. Okay, in a moment, I was talking earlier about the president signing this federal GMO labeling bill. Some of the reactions from people in social media to that's coming right up here on Good Day. It's 44 after the hour.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
So how much do you have to do for your kid to earn the title good parent? How much do you have to do for your child to earn the title good parent? Well, many parents believe they are not good parents unless they do everything for their kid. As a result, many children are growing up not knowing how to cook, clean, or take proper care of themselves. Here's the developmental science of it. Bring a child into the house and you add about 50% more cooking, cleaning, and laundry.
You kids are driving me crazy!
The point here is that it's never too soon to involve children in housework. The earlier you involve them, the more likely they are to see these activities as responsibilities and routine.
They're not kids, they're midgets.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Kids are part of the family. Good parents involve their children and teach them how to do rather than doing things for them. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Today on App Check, flight control. You're an air traffic controller landing planes at a busy airport. $5 for iPad, $1 for iPhone, and worth every penny. Flight control.
It's a hit.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than proactive. Announcing today's Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-677-6111 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-677-6111. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-677-6111. 1-800-677-6111.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
It was October 12, 1996, game one of the ALCS. Derek Jeter stepped up to the plate, and suddenly, this 12-year-old took his place in baseball history.
It's a high fly ball to right deep. Going back is Tarasco. To the wall, he's under it now, and it's taken away from him by a fan, and they're going to call it a home run. I can't believe it.
So where is Jeffrey Mayer now? Jeffrey's still all about baseball. He was a first-team all-conference player at Wesleyan University, where in 2006 he became the school's all-time leader in hits. And he was a baseball skills instructor for the actors in the ESPN miniseries The Bronx is Burning.
Wow, it's pretty unbelievable, and I didn't think it would ever happen to me.
Jeffrey Mayer. Just don't mention his name in Baltimore. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
47 after the hour, Doug and Jen with Kara. So the ongoing saga of this federal GMO labeling bill that's putting a lot of farmers off. It was against the will of the American people. Here's Robert, who writes, every one of the votes for this bill must be answered with a vote at the polls to deny the people who voted for it their reelection. 90% of the public demands labeling. Congress selling their votes to Monsanto is irresponsible and dishonest. If the Congress prefers to eat crap, they should stay away from organic foods altogether. This is especially true for the hypocrites that support GMO but eat organic, like, I'll keep that one off. Let's see here. This is from Glenn. Why would they mandate that a scary warning label be installed on something that's 100% perfectly safe? In fact, the GM crops that we are using are the highest tested food crops by far. If the so-called grown-in-poop organic industry falters because of this failure, it'll be a just reward for a segment of the food industry that's been scheming, deceiving, and outright lying to the public for the past 20 years.
To me, it's not so much a scary label, though, or calling GMO products unhealthy. It's that people just want to know
what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Roland writes, let's see, to the last guy, shut up and go cash your check for Monsanto.
Oh,
that's a little mean.
That is a little mean. Let's see here. Marge writes, shame on Obama. I voted for him. I'm totally disgusted. That's more, I don't know about the politics of this, so I do know about the politics of it. The Republicans get blamed, or you can count on them to side with the interests like Monsanto. But according to members of the Democratic Party, Democrats aren't supposed to do stuff like this. And there are amazing numbers of people who are just really angry at Obama for selling out all across the board, not being able to explain things like the $400 million in cash that went to Iran for the deal. Oh, that wasn't part of the deal. What do you think? We're
that
all stupid.
That wasn't a ransom.
Well, you got to think that we're all stupid. We are not all stupid. But the deception here is just what's over the top. All right, anyway, food for thought stuff, 10 before the hour.